calling. Well, I have a story. I don't normally read during my sermons, but I want to read this story because it's hilarious. But maybe some of you heard it. It's from a good book called Living a Life on Loan. And if you want a good book to read, this is a great book, Living a Life on Loan. 33-year-old truck driver Larry Walters accomplished his dream of flying, even if his aircraft was unconventional. Supposedly, Larry had spent a good deal of his life dreaming of flying, but had never had the opportunity until July 2, 1982, when he and several buddies got together. They took an aluminum lawn chair, you know, the kind with those green and white straps, you know, and attached 30 weather balloons to it. Reports vary, but Larry seat-belted in with a fashion seatbelt into the chair, and he took some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, a six-pack of beer, a CB radio with a battery, to report to his friends, of course, what he was seeing, and a BB gun to shoot the balloons when he wanted to descend. The combination of these guys, beer, 30 weather balloons, a BB gun, and an aluminum chair are probably what got Larry nominated for the Darwin Awards that year. Maybe you've heard of the Darwin Awards, but instead of leisurely floating over his Southern California neighborhood, Larry's chair, when cut loose from its tethers, shot up more than 2 miles into the air, more than 10,000 feet into the air. Right through the approach corridor to the Long Beach International Airport. Can you imagine airline pilots trying to figure out what in the world had they just seen? You know, Larry there with his beer and a CB radio. Okay. All right. Larry started firing his BB gun as fast as he could, right? But not too fast, because you don't want to blow them all up or you're going down quick. So when he landed, imagine there were police there and emergency workers and a few reporters, and they caught up with him. Larry admitted being scared to death. Reporters asked whether he would ever try this again. "Not in a million years," Larry replied. Finally, someone asked him, "Why did you do it?" And the author says, "I loved his answer." And Larry said, "Well, you can't just sit there, can you?" And so that's the motivational truth from Larry Walters today. You just can't sit there, can you? God hasn't called us to be Christians to just sit here in our life and just watch life pass us by. But the passions God has given us, the gifts God's given us, the calling He's given us so that we can go out and serve and use it in our lives, right? So and apply it. So you can't just sit there, can you? Good job, Larry Walters. But now, I'm not recommending the weather balloon thing. Okay. So what is my life calling? Some of you are confident in this. You know what your life calling is. Paul says it in Ephesians 4:1. He was a prisoner at the time that he wrote Ephesians. He said, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Paul is saying you've received a calling from God. He's writing this to normal Christians at Ephesus, not just to pastors, right? But to Christians saying, if you're a Christian, you've received a calling to serve God some way in this world. So live it out. Live it in your life. So what is your life calling? We're going to be exploring that today. Think about that. Do you know what your life calling is? Well, it is related to our spiritual gifts. If God's calling us to do something in our life, to serve in a certain way, in a certain position, or to minister to certain people, He's going to gift us with abilities and experiences that help us do that calling. So our spiritual gifts and our calling are interconnected and related. Okay, so the truth here, if you're following along in the sermon outline, following along there today, the big truth I want you to walk away with, that everybody needs to walk away with today, is is this is true. This is true. We are all called by God. Calling is not just something for the pastor, you know. But calling is something that God places on every Christian's life. We are all called. You are called by God to do something in this world that only you can do. With the vantage point that you have in life, with the gifts and experiences, there's something that you can do for someone that nobody else can do. You are called. We are all called. All of us are called. Well, I want to connect this to last week and do just a brief review and emphasize some things that are connected to calling. We talked about that we're, in a sense, heroes. I had that hero screen. It was supposed to have some dramatic music and it failed. But anyway, we're God's heroes in a sense that we have some abilities, okay? We don't fly or have bulletproof skin, but we have abilities given from God. Some of us have great ability to discern when somebody else is hurting. Some of us have deep ability to give. Some of us can really speak the truth clearly and just cut through all the stuff, and we're just good at that. We have different gifts. We have God-given gifts, and mixed with our personality and experiences, we are unique people. Now, I don't want you to think of these gifts as boxes. And I preach from Romans 12, and there was seven gifts that are linked to our personality, and I call them missional gifts. Gifts that help us do the mission of God. But these aren't boxes. We often have two or three of these gifts, and they work together with our personality. And even the ones that we aren't strong in, we're often called to do something in that area. So we may not be strong in the gift of mercy or showing compassion, but we'll still be called at times to show compassion and to be a merciful person. So these gifts are not boxes, but Paul writes them, and we learn about them to better understand ourselves and how we're wired to serve God in this world. So I want you to think about that when you come to give and take, and when you take this test, that this doesn't, these gifts don't limit you to how you're serving this world, but it gives you a map to how you can best serve in this world. And your two or three top gifts, you'll see as you take a test or as you talk to other Christians and they affirm what they think your gifts are, this is your sweet spot where you're good at serving others, So that scripture was Romans 12:6-8. If some of you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go there and read that whole chapter of scripture. It's just a majestic chapter of scripture. Okay, and the gifts were a perceiver or a prophet, a server, the hands of the body of Christ, the server, the teacher, the real, the knowledge of the body of Christ, someone who's really got that gift and ability to teach, an encourager, a giver, a leader, and a shower of mercy and compassion. So those were those gifts that are tied to our personalities, our experiences. They are gifts given for our life mission. That each of us has a mission in this life to serve out what God wants us to do in this life. Our lives are not just coincidences or accidents. Indeed, God is working in this world and planning to do good things for you. So the gifts you have in your life are for your life mission, for your calling. So that's how they're connected. What is your life mission? What is your calling? We're going to explore that in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. If you want to make your way there, that's Ephesians chapter 4, starting with the 11th verse. The words will also be on the screen here, but they're going to disappear, so you might want to find it in your Bible. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. It was He, okay, and Paul means Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness in Christ. That's one of our goals as a congregation this year, is to, at the end of the year, say that we are more like Christ than we were at the beginning of the year. And that's my goal personally, and my goal to help each one of us be more
have more fullness of Christ in our lives as a congregation and as individuals. Nobody wants to say at the end of the year, well, I was much more like Christ at the beginning of the year, right? You know, no, we want to grow in the fullness of Christ. And God has given callings within the body of Christ, the church, that help us do that. To prepare us for works of service. To prepare us and help build up the body of Christ. So that we can more be the fullness of Christ in this world. So I'm going to go through these five callings listed here. And I want to say that these are callings. But there's more to this scripture than I often hear. And that's what the Lord's leading me to speak on this week. So the first calling is apostle. Apostle. The definition... J.D. Douglas's definitions, I'm going to be using mostly his, J.D. Douglas. An apostle is one who is sent with authority to act on behalf of another. So a leader who's been given authority by another group of people or other leaders. So a apostle is a leader of leaders. Do you know what an epistle is? We call the epistles the letters in the New Testament. That's an old word for a letter. And it sounds like the word apostle, doesn't it? Well, they both have the root of being sent. A letter is sent. An apostle is a person who is sent. Sent with an authority to do something. Okay, so the church, we have these apostles of the church. They were sent by the Spirit of God to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. They were leaders, and they started congregations. The Apostle Paul, he was a leader who grew other leaders, like Timothy, and started churches. So we need people in the church who are leaders of leaders, who grow up leaders so that that leader can grow up the church and build people in the image of Christ, build people in the likeness of Christ. So that's an apostle. We have the calling of prophet. A prophet is one who speaks timely and beneficial words from God to the congregation. And we need people with that calling in their life, who when they're mature in the faith, they can confidently speak timely and good or beneficial words to God's people. So that we don't get off track, or so that when we're doing good, we are encouraged that it is the right thing. We need people who can tell the truth to us. So God raises up and gives people callings to be truth tellers or prophets. We'll call them truth tellers. Now, does this mean that the rest of us can just be liars? No. But some people are given the calling of speaking the truth in difficult circumstances whenever to do that. Okay. An evangelist. Paul mentions evangelist. An evangelist is one who proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. This is a giver of good news. We're all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. But some people are given the gift and the calling that they excel at this. And they excel at helping others learn how to share their faith and how to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So we need people who have that ability so that all of us can grow up in Christ, being able to share our relationship with Christ. Some people just excel at that. So we need, and God calls people who can teach us. And then we have the despised position of pastor, right? Did the volume just go up? Okay. All right. Let's see. Pastor. This is one who is a shepherd, one who is a shepherd of a flock of Christians. Okay. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. The true shepherd is Jesus Christ our Lord. But God calls people, called pastors, to be a shepherd of His flock. To help people through the daily ins and outs of life of growing in Christ. Helping, you know, a shepherd fixes the wounds of his sheep. Goes after them when they're lost in their ways. Takes care of them. Helps them get fed. Okay? So we need a group guide in the congregation to help us go down the path that we need to go, to stay on mission. So God calls people to be a group guide. Now hopefully you're seeing that all of these positions, that there's ways that God calls these people in the church, and there's ways that you do this in your family, right? So there's people who may never be a reverend up front in a robe, but they're really the pastor of their family. They're really the one who teaches and guides their family through the ins and outs of life, right? You may have a truth teller in your family or at your place of work. So there are places in the world where these callings are also real and true, besides just the church. And teacher is the fifth one that Paul mentions. A teacher is one who gives knowledge to help the church understand its beliefs and its mission. So the pastor is guiding the group of Christians on the right path. But a pastor needs a teacher, and pastors need to be learning what is the right path and what is the right way to go and what is our mission. So I'm constantly reading books and listening to mentors and going to classes so that I don't get off track based on just my ideas of what church should be. But listening to those who spend their life seeking wisdom, and listening to the teachers of the church so that I can do the best for you as a pastor. A teacher is a worker in words. A worker in words who learns and passes that on so that we can stay on mission. All right. So my question here, though, is I always hear this as five roles that I just zipped through, really. But I see six here, if we're being entirely honest. You might have listened to that whole list and said, I don't relate to much of any of that. I don't feel like I'm a leader of leaders. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. Some of you maybe did relate to some of that. But there's a sixth role here. So we see the apostles. We see the prophets. We see the evangelists, pastors, teachers. But if we look at verse 12, all those roles, right after he says the word teachers, he says these roles, these callings were given to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So the sixth role is that these roles are called to serve the other role of God's people. We are all God's people. But you guys, if you feel like you didn't relate to that first five gifts, that I just five callings, I want you to hear that that is okay and good. Because the majority of what God needs is people who are going to do the works in their life. And the other people, these five callings are called to serve them so that the church can do the works of service in the world. To build up the body. So we are all called to. We can't escape and say there's nothing I'm called to. You're called to some of these, and you're called to at least the sixth one there, to be God's people who do works of service in the world, who build up the body of Christ, who join together in unity, as Paul says, so that we can be on mission, serving Jesus in the world. So we are all called at least to be God's people, which is not to be a despised calling. That is the highest calling there is. To be a child, a person of God. To be able to have God's calling on our life. To serve the one true God, His Son Jesus Christ. We are all called to do that. So we are God's people, and we are called. We need to believe that and affirm that we are all equal in the church in that. That because I was given a calling as a pastor or teacher does not make me better than anybody else in the church. That's not how it works. We are called to be a team to pull this off together. Some of us have different gifts and talents and experiences, but we're all called to be God's people, learning how we can serve the world, learning how we can love one another, love our enemies even. So that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. We are all called. I want to talk about some ways in which we're all called. This is real life calling here. Because you can't just sit there, right? We've been called to something in our life. So what are we called to? Well, we're called to salvation. God wants all His kids home, is a simple way to say it. God wants to be in a relationship through His Son Jesus Christ with every person ever born. God wants to save every person and have a redeeming relationship with every person. Each one of you, that's true for each one of us, right? We are therefore called to discipleship. Okay, if you come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not just called to stay there, you're called to become disciples. He told the first disciples, now go and make disciples. And we are to become disciples, followers of Jesus, learning His teachings through the Scriptures and applying them in our lives. So you are called to that. I am called to that. I am called to learn His teachings and apply them to my life. There's no escape there for any Christian. We're all called to that. We're then called to do His mission. Somebody asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And He says, love the Lord your God with all you are, basically, heart, mind, body. Okay, and love your neighbor as yourself. The second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So go and do that. Go and do that. And go and do that through everything that you are. Okay? Now that's when He boils it down. There's plenty of other teachings that Jesus gives us in the New Testament. But we are called to be about what Jesus Christ told us to be about. Loving the world and sharing that God has come into the world through His Son. So we are all on that mission. There's no escape there. Its mission is not just for missionaries. Did you know that? In fact, well, it kind of is. It's just, the truth is, we're all missionaries. We are all called to be on God's mission. So you are called to salvation, to relationship with Him. You're called to grow in Christ, and then you're called to serve the world. Then, okay, if you can imagine these like cups, and I tried to find some stacking cups and couldn't find the right amount. Anyway, so you're called to salvation. And then inside that, you're called to discipleship, and it stacks in there and it builds together. Then you're called to mission, and it's getting more, the cups are getting smaller, not in the sense that they're weaker, but more specific. So then you're called to a vocation. Vocation has the same root for the word voice. There's something in your life, a place in which you can work and give voice to God's love that you can be most effective. So my vocation is pastor, teacher. Yours might be a professor. Okay? It might be at the machine shop. Might be at the beauty shop. Okay? Might be on the farm. We're given different vocations. It's going to be parent, neighbor, friend. Different places where we can give voice to the truth of God. So what is your vocation? Well, look around. Where did God place you in life? What are you doing? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? Are you a parent now? Are you a neighbor? Do you have a position in the community, a volunteer position? Do you have a position at work? This is not just happenstance and coincidence. This is where you are, where God has placed you. And through that, God can use your voice. His voice can speak through your voice and your actions. And you're on mission through your positions in life. Now, sometimes God calls us to a different vocation, and there's a searching for that. And that can be a real learning and struggle, and we go through that as a community together. But if you're in a place right now and you're able to give voice to how God loves you, whether you're retired or working, that's your vocation. And then an even narrower cup to put inside there is location. Then God says, okay, you can do this type of work, and now I have a place for you. Go there and do it. And sometimes God messes us up and changes the place where we live. But that doesn't counteract the mission we're on. We say, well, now we live in Ohio. I guess I don't have to serve God anymore. No, that bigger cup down there still says that you're still on mission. You're still a disciple. You're still a saved child of God. You've still got the same abilities and gifts. You're just in a different, called to a different location. So the location may change, but your gifts and abilities won't change, and the mission doesn't change. So every one of us is called. In real life, we are called. And the gifts that you have, And I want you to come to the give and take times if you can. And if I know some of the small groups are working on their gifts during their small group times. I want you to take the inventories if you can and look at and explore how the two or three areas where you're strongly gifted, how that has to do with the places you are in life. And how God could work through where you're at right now. Because God wants us to be His servants in the world. He wants the church to be about doing works of service. Being built up, becoming like Christ. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was loving. I think we'd all agree. Extremely loving. To the point of death for us. We want to be like that. We want to, like Larry said, you can't just sit there, right? We want to, at the end of the life, say, we used our life to grow in how we can love the world and serve others. A great quote that I read this week. The question to ask at the end of life's race is not so much, what have I accomplished? But whom have I loved? And how courageously? Are you using the gift of life that God has given you? This wonderful gift of life. Are you looking at it and saying, I can't just sit here. All this stuff God's given me. The gifts He's given me. Salvation. The teachings He's given me. The mission He's given me to love my family, to love my neighbors, even love my enemies. Am I doing it? Am I loving people? Am I being courageous about it and believing that God has called me to a courageous life of love? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for loving us courageously. For coming to us, becoming one of us, dying for us and forgiving us and giving us everlasting life. Lord, help us to see our lives and how they are a gift from You to do the same thing, to love the world, to serve them. Lord, help to see the strengths and gifts and experiences that You've put in our life as You building us up to do good in this world. Give us eyes to see. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.